We are more than what we see. Every voice, every story holds a key. Together we rise in synergy. Different faces, different pain, different stories, same refrain. Trying to find a place to stand, trying to feel a guiding hand. What you say and what you mean, life somewhere in between. Every action has a cause, every heart behind the walls. If we listen, we can hear it. If we look, we can see it. There's a pattern in the soul. Every piece can make us whole. It's the power of synergy. Understanding you and me. Every difference, every truth leads us back to something new.
Welcome to The Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, a relationship coach. I started out as a life coach, but people said, you know what, that's too general, it's too broad. You've got to have a niche, a specialty, an area of expertise. So after about 15 years of coaching people and how to score in the game of life, I said, well, okay, there's a lot of different things that I've been teaching people about: time management, money management, career, relationships. Let me see, what specialty really could I say that I have? You know what? It was relationships. I really saw that no matter what an individual's original question for me to help them solve the problem, answer their question, that usually involved some problem with the people in their life. Yeah, so what I had often taught people just as a product of whatever it was they were originally coming to me for advice about, it was about getting back together with people, the people that they love, the people that they hate, the people that they don't really know. Yeah, people are important to our success as humans. We've got to get together and do it in a healthy way. Synergy, that's what we create when we come together with the people in our lives. If you Google the word synergy, you can basically find the definition everywhere from Merriam-Webster to just Google. It's what we create when we come together. It's more than the sum of our parts. We empower people to be more than what they would be if they were alone. Well, okay, that's a relatively simple concept, but what does it mean in practical terms? It means that we don't add to each other. We don't even multiply each other. We empower each other. Okay, so let's think about this logistically now. Power is, it's kind of a scary thing, but it's kind of an exciting thing too. If you think about it in terms of math, okay, when something has power with another number, that's exponentially bigger. That means, okay, I'll give you an example. Let's see, 7 and 3. When they come together, they don't make 10. They don't even make 21. 7 to the 3rd power is 343. Well, wait a minute, what's 3 to the 7th power? That's 2,187. Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, let's just think about this now. We have power, we have impact, that much potential impact on someone else by being with them, synergizing, actually uniting, not only in what we do, but how we do it and why we do it. That's a pretty exciting thing to think about, to contemplate the potential for what we can do with each other, but also for each other and to each other. Now, what I've always taught people as a life coach, just in general as principles, three principles. Number one, there's no neutral energy. You are either positive or you're negative. Number two, there's no inertia. You are either moving towards someone, away from them, or with them. Number three, power comes with accountability. Okay, now let's do that once removed. Do you believe that knowledge is power? If you learn something, if you know something, that gives you the power to take action. Do you believe that you are accountable not only to the situation, but to the people in the situation that you have just changed with the knowledge that you have? Okay, now that's pretty serious, but it's also tough to examine because sometimes if we're in the middle of a forest, we can't really see the trees on the other side because we've got a whole lot of trees in front of us. Well, sometimes it's hard to see the whole forest. How closely are you looking at what's right in front of you? Are you willing to take a step back and really take an inventory of not only what you do, but how you do it and why you do it, and then what kind of effect it's having on other people, and then what kind of impact that's creating in the world? Okay, so today I'm not going to take any breaks to my show. If you want to call in and ask me for advice, you absolutely can. The number to the station is 888-627-6008. But I'm going to be talking about the last 2 weeks. You may have noticed that I haven't been live on the show for 2 weeks because my middle son, just got married last weekend. But I went up to Washington State from Arizona a week early to prepare for the wedding. It was kind of a limited budget, so there were a lot of things that needed to get done through voluntary hands, help from friends and family. Yeah, when you're on a limited budget, a wedding is still a pretty big event. It takes a lot of time, a lot of resources. Okay, well, first of all, I hate Washington weather. Okay, yeah. I would rather be in Phoenix in the summer in 110 degrees than Washington State because the humidity affects me. But you know what? I love my son more. And that's another thing I tell people. Positive is more powerful than negative. So I was going up there in a really good mood and I was ready to celebrate and enjoy the event. Okay. Yeah, we live in a place in Washington, my son and his now wife, my husband and I, my son and daughter, my friends, my family, they all live in a city called Marysville. Ladies and gentlemen, that is kind of in the middle of nowhere, USA. So taking public transportation, if you don't have a car, well, you know what? You're kind of out of luck because they don't run very frequently and they have horrible hours. So I didn't have the physical activity. Okay, but you know what? Hey, I was with my son and his fiance and the other people that I haven't seen in a long time. So we were going to catch up, right? Yeah, no, there was no time to visit with the people that I was hoping to hang out with. And by that, I mean my brothers and sisters, my friends and my congregation. Okay, so that kind of put me in a bad mood too. Okay, so let's figure out how we can get some good inside of me to conquer the bad. I ended up having a few seizures, but I knew that if I do take the time to take care of myself, I can manage those things, those negative situations, the negative condition that I was in. There was no way. I got there on Tuesday. By Saturday, I was not going to be having seizures. I did not know how I was going to do this, but I had absolutely resolved in my mind, don't ruin your son's important day. Okay, so you know what? My gift to him was going to be figuring out how to be a high quality soul during his special event. Yeah, okay, so let's just also contemplate the other reality that I always love to tell people. If you're honest with people and you tell them what you genuinely need, they're more often than not very willing to help you help yourself. They'll give you what you're asking them for if they know that what you're doing is going to make the situation truly better, not in quantity necessarily, but in quality. Wait a minute. Yeah, the quality, the quantity will go up too because we will be able to synergize. Okay. Now, again, when we're talking about a larger number, if your energy is negative, a larger number would be a bad thing, right? But if it's positive, then it's a good thing. So how well do you know the situation? How well do you know the participants? How well do you know yourself? Okay, now this is again kind of tough, but if you know how to take the time to take an inventory. You can tell the people in your life, look, I do need this break, or I need this particular activity, or I need this resource. Do you either have it that you could provide it to me, because I'm all out, right? Or will you help me and support me while I go out and get what I need from someone or something else? You know what? That's another thing. People are very willing to help you if you tell them specifically what you need. Nice. Very nice. Okay. Now, I'm in the process of buying a home in Phoenix, so flying up to Seattle for 2 weeks, everything was kind of put on hold. So I did have a little bit of stress and anxiety about that. But my husband and I, at 32 years of marriage, we're still like boyfriend and girlfriend. I knew that that was going to be helpful to my son and his fiance being around us while we were trying to figure everything out, manage everything, get everything put together. Yeah, they were going to be in a good mood. We were going to be in a good mood. Somehow, some way, it was all going to work out. Mm-hmm. Okay. So by the time the wedding came around, I was in a much better state. I was in a higher quality state of mind and body. My heart, my spirit was positive, even though there were things that were going wrong all over the place, because apparently my son's fiance's mother, she's kind of a control freak, and she was kind of making everything difficult for everybody. And managing that was probably the biggest challenge for me. I knew that a lot of stuff was going to hit the fan when the reception happened. Well, apparently there was some drama around the wedding as well. I didn't realize that my now daughter-in-law was very passionate about when her father was going to stand up upon being asked, who gives this woman? Instead of saying, I do, he was going to say, her mother and I do. Yeah, no, my now daughter-in-law didn't like that idea. She didn't want that. Just dad, just say, I do. You don't have to include mom. Okay, so I guess there's a story behind that too. So we had to manage the negativity, keep it positive. Everything was, yeah, it was actually starting to be okay. Okay, well, no, he still did it. He still said, her mother and I do. Okay, well, that was very stressful. And I knew that I was going to have to manage a few situations at the reception. Okay. Yeah, my husband's family is very Mexican. My daughter-in-law's family is very American. There was a bit of a language barrier. And so there was a management issue also. Yeah, the way that it was being managed was not effective. So as the mother of the groom, I was running around kind of like a chicken with my head cut off, managing the people, managing the situations, and having a good time. Because you know what? I saw my son and his now wife enjoying the people that were there. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I kept two things in mind. Number one, my positive energy would be more powerful than the negative feelings going on because of the different things happening and other things not happening. As long as I was a good communicator with the catering company, with the woman who made the cake, with the actual opera house staff, right? There were waiters, but they weren't really doing their job. And my consuegra, there's no word in English for consuegra, but my daughter-in-law's mother, she was still wreaking havoc around the whole group. My husband and I would look at each other. My daughter and I, who was one of the bridesmaids, would look at each other. My other son and I would look at each other as we were all trying to manage these situations. And every time we did, we felt each other's love and support and encouragement. Keep going. We're doing a great job. Yes, the is hitting the fan, but you know what? We're still together. Even when we're on opposite sides of the room and we're doing completely different things, the minute we made eye contact, we knew we were together. That's it, ladies and gentlemen, getting together with people, not necessarily doing the same thing, but whatever we're doing for the same reason or in the same way. That's how you unify. That's how you synchronize. That's how you synergize. And you know what? All of the things that were going wrong, my son and his now wife still thought that it was a success because, number one, I didn't have a seizure. Yes, that's very successful. But even more importantly, we kept positive energy in spite of all of the things that on paper were a disaster. Yeah, we all knew that we were all together. Now ask yourself, do you feel like you are truly with the people in your life? Do you believe that they are with you? That's another element of synergy. In order to synchronize, in order to synergize, you either have to go into their world or they have to come into your world. Or you know what? Lo and behold, you can create an entirely different, separate world that the two of you participate in and then invite other people. Yeah. Okay. So if you then understand those principles, you can say to the people that you're with, look, this is what I'm really good at. This is what I think you're really good at. These are the different things that we can do and create together to produce for the world. Okay, yeah. There's different things that we have elements as humans. There's mentally, there's emotionally, there's physically. When you understand the personality of the person that you're with, you can say to them, you know what? I'm really good naturally at the physical activities in life. But I've noticed emotionally, you have an amazing generosity. Or, you know what? Mentally, I have a constitution that is impenetrable. Yeah, I've got a really good mind, but my skills, my physical skills, physically, I can't really perform everything that I can see. Well, you know what? Then you can say to the person in the world that we have together, we have a united purpose. We have a focus. Now we can figure out how to do it in the best possible way. Okay, now let's go back to the principles of synergy. If we're thinking about this mathematically, you can create larger, produce greater quality and quantities of things when you unite with people. Okay, let's go back to 7 and 3. Okay, well, if you say to someone, you know what, I need to take a step back and be a higher quality version when I come to you, when I come back to you, let's do the 3 says, I want to be a 4. Okay, and the 7 says, well, great, I'll go ahead and I'll do something productive while I'm waiting for you to become a higher quality version of yourself. What's the difference between 7 and 3 and 7 and 4? Okay, well, 7 to the 4th power, unlike 343, that's 2,401. But what's 4 to the 7th power? Instead of 2,187, that's 16,384. Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe that just improving by 10%, you can make a situation better 8 times over? Yeah, that can be very, very exciting to think about. But how do you do that? How do you actually get yourself into a higher quality version of whatever it was that you were before? And this is what I tell people: when there's no neutral energy, you either have a positive or a negative impact on people. You don't necessarily know how to look at yourself, right? Honestly, ask yourself, when people are done with you, are they better or worse than they were when you came around? You are going to have an impact on them. And it's better to take a step back to say, I'm going to become a better quality version of myself because I think I'm becoming negative. Even if I'm away from the situation for, let's say, an hour, when I come back to that individual in that setting, my performance, the quality of my mind and my heart and my body are going to be so significant that I will be able to create 8 times more than what I was before I took care of myself. Okay, now let me just get up on a soapbox here, ladies and gentlemen. My mother was a flight attendant, and yes, every time we were on the plane, they would go through their spiel about how in the event that there is a lack of oxygen, we have a supply with oxygen masks. Always put the mask on yourself first if you're traveling with anybody else who needs your help. Well, in the United States in the 80s and 90s, a very popular philosophy was put the mask on yourself first. Don't you take care of other people at the expense of your own well-being. Okay, let me just qualify that as a yeah, and when you've taken care of yourself, get back to helping people. Give more than you take. That is going to be the source of your high quality. Give more than you take. Do you believe there's more joy in giving than in receiving? Yeah, it's true. You really genuinely do pay it forward in high quality, not just a large quantity, but also a genuinely better product and performance of whatever it is that people need for you to do or be with and for them. It's going to be an exponentially better experience for them because unselfish generosity, yeah, what goes around comes around. Karma, whatever you want to call it, it's very important to remember that the mood that you're in is going to determine how happy they're going to be. Yeah, how good the experience is going to be overall. You know what? There wasn't a whole lot of food. Yeah, apparently my consuegra, she didn't order enough food. But hey, you know what? It's okay because we were all being social and only a few people, yours truly included, didn't get to eat. I didn't eat at the reception. But you know what? Every time I looked over at my son and his wife, they were smiling and taking pictures. Yes, everyone was staring at me. The mother of the groom, being a waitress, just was a little weird. But as long as I was in a good mood, having a good time, then people were smiling at me. And I was smiling back at them and waving at them. And okay, it was a little weird, but it was fun. Wow, what an idea. It was fun. I said to my husband, honey, are we going to spend time together at some point? Yeah, well, probably not, because we were both working our fingers to the bone. But that's okay, because after everything was said and done, and yeah, the event is over, now it's time for the marriage to begin. Well, that's when the stuff really hit the fan and challenges were presenting themselves. I actually needed to explain to my now daughter-in-law, you can't cut off your parents just overnight. You haven't been explaining to them. You haven't been talking to them about the things that have been bothering you. You have got to communicate. That's the only way you can synchronize. That way you can synergize. Even if you do have to set down boundaries, yeah, and say to them, there are just certain things that in my life are not negotiable. And if you're not going to respect my wishes, and if you're not going to listen to what I say, then you're not going to be as much of a participant. I'm not going to lend as much weight to what you say as I would have if you would respect my wishes and appreciate my value personally, not just as your daughter, but as a person, right? The same way a friend or a colleague, another kind of family member. Yeah, we all have value, inherent, indescribable value to each other. We just need to communicate honestly, accurately, and effectively. Okay, so how much do you think you communicate accurately and effectively? Well, that can be difficult, because again, when we're talking about different personalities, you have to learn different languages. Literally, one word that could mean something good to one person can be an insult to someone else. Are people worth the investment of your time and your energy, your thoughts? Yeah, changing your behavior Definitely. If you're going to stay synchronized with them and you're able to synergize with them, then potentially you could unite with other people, not just that one individual. If you bring someone else into that equation, let's do it. Let's think about it in numbers again. Okay, so we were talking about the difference between 7 and 3 and 7 and 4. Okay, well, how about 8 and 3? Yeah, that was a lot more. What about 3 and 7 and 4? What if someone comes into the situation? You need to understand that the base is one thing, the exponent is something else. Okay, so if let's say you're a 7 and 3, okay, and a 4 comes along, well, 4 plus 7 to the third power is 1,331, not 343, because you've added 4, but the 4 has been added to the 7. Okay, so it's 11 to the third power. That's 1,331. Okay, well, what about if the 3 and the 7 say to the 4, you know what? We're going to let you be the exponent. That's 10 to the fourth power. That's 10,000, not 2,401. Okay, but what about saying to the 4, you know what? The 3 and the 4 can unite. They can get something, but then keep it to the seventh power. That's 823,543. That's just adding 3 to 4, because if you keep the 7 as the exponent, then you have exponentially more influence. Now, what does that mean in terms of actual relationships? Well, the exponent is the fuel and the energy that facilitate the base number manifesting. Yeah, they're not even the ones doing the work. They're the ones that are propelling the ones that are making sure the work gets done. Do you believe that? Do you believe that just positive energy and good attitude, support and encouragement, facilitating the manifestation of what other people are doing, can have a greater impact than doing the actual activity? Wow. Okay. That might mean a few things. Okay. In relationships, communication is very important. Let's just say that. Okay. Knowing who is good at what and doing what you're good at. Yeah. This is important to remember. The base is what's being done. The exponent is the manifestation of that. If you know that you are creating a higher quality product, then that's more important than a large quantity. But knowing who you're with and having that connection to them, with them, is going to be the determination of what other people around you are going to experience. When I was with my husband and my daughter and my other son, and we kept our energy together, positive, any situation physically that was going on, we could not only manage it, we could conquer it. We could solve the problems. We could handle the situations to the point where if you had taken an inventory of the guests, how would you say this is going? They thought it was amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, without giving you too much personal information, my daughter doesn't wear dresses, okay? The fact that she was one of the bridesmaids, she was in an absolutely beautiful dress, and everyone thinks my daughter's just gorgeous in general, okay? But when she was hair and makeup and jewelry and dress decked out, wow, she was phenomenal. And I knew that she hated it, but her love for her brother and seeing his happiness was more powerful than her loathing, detesting of all things aesthetically girly. Yeah, you would never know that she hated what she was wearing, because her happiness and the support and encouragement that her father and I were giving her to just keep going, sweetie, you're doing an amazing job, that was worth it. Yeah, and if you know that the impact that you have on other people is going to facilitate them doing things that they never would have thought to do before, then it's worth it. It's worth the blood, sweat, and tears, the sacrifice that, yeah, come with the territory. When you synchronize with people, when you synergize with them, you do need to always keep in mind what they're doing. What they're going through, so that you can support them and facilitate them. Yeah, my coaching workbook, I tell people, because not everyone can afford to hire me. My coaching workbook is, where are you now? Where are you going? How are you going to get there in the most natural and organic way for you? Get to know yourself. Once you know yourself, then you can include other people in your world. You have tools and resources in the form of gifts and talents and strengths and abilities. But you know what? Your personal resources, my father used to say, he used to love to say to me, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And when you have that appreciation and respect and trust for and with the people in your life, they will want to be with you. Even if they're not physically there doing what you're doing with you, they are available and willing and able to respond to you if you do reach out to them. How much better do you feel just knowing that you could if you needed to? They would if you asked. You know what? That right there, more often than not, takes away the need in the first place. If you know that the people that know you and that appreciate and respect and trust you could say to you at any moment, absolutely, I'll drop what I'm doing because you are more important to me than this temporary situation, the external situation. It will be gone at some point, but our connection, our relationship is going to last. Wow. Okay. So now this actually, when I'm talking about marriage, I've been talking about it for the last few months because my now daughter-in-law really, really does want to have what my husband and I have. And my clients, when they say to me, wow, after 32 years, you guys are still like boyfriend and girlfriend. Maybe you know what you're doing. I wrote a book because, yes, there's a lot of information, but it's contingent on a few principles. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to share the principles with you. And let me just heads up, it's very anti-feminist in principle. But you know what? It works really well because it's about getting together. Now, there are four scriptures that I like to use just as principled pillars, we'll call them pillars, to sustain marriage. Marriage is not like any other relationship. You have signed a document, a contract that you are not going to go anywhere. You have got to stick together. My first one is, don't go to bed angry. Know how to manage whatever is going on inside of yourself to either work through it and let it go, release it, or manage it to where the toxicity of the negativity is no longer the driving force behind the situation. Now, you might not be able to solve a situation that's provoked you, create the solution that you want to that situation. But if you know how to compartmentalize the different elements of that and whoever is involved, if you have communicated with them, you don't have to be angry that it wasn't solved. You can continue to work on it with that person together. Okay, the other one is, yeah, a husband should be drunk on his wife's breasts all day, every day, even when they've been married for years and years and years. He should be intoxicated and horny all the time. Okay, that's really powerful because that will put him in a good mood. Yes, unless, and the third one that I'm bringing up here now is, unless you deprive him. That's another thing that I tell people, don't deprive each other. That is actually a scripture. If one of the mates is very, very hungry with physical love for their companion, depriving your partner of that experience. I'm sorry, what good purpose does that serve? Yeah, a lot of feminist women that I grew up with used sex as a weapon. That's not good for marriage. You can't be doing that. And if you do say to your mate, look, I'm just not in the mood right now. Okay, take a step back, take care of yourself to get healthy again, to get back into that mood. Because you know what? Physical love is very powerful. And if you, for some reason, you're not physically in a condition to perform that kind of activity, or if mentally or emotionally you are in a low quality state, do your partner a favor and take care of yourself so that if you say to them, look, you give me time to put the mask on myself in whatever way I need to, I promise you when we come back together, I will be exponentially better with you, to you, for you. You know what? Love is willing to give more than it receives. Your partner will say, first of all, thank you for being honest with me. And secondly, yeah, do what you need to do and let me know if there's anything I can do to expedite the process or make it better, right? And then the last one, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, it's better for a husband to sleep on the corner of a roof alone than in a warm, soft bed with a woman who wants to fight all day, every day about everything. Do we need to fight? No, we don't. We can communicate. We can create peace, again, going to bed in a good mood with each other. But we have to talk about things so that we know that we, again, are synchronized. If there's something that we disagree about, there's many different ways we can deal with a situation, but we have to have all of the information. Now, sometimes we would like to assume that if someone knows us or if they love us, they would know what's important to us. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, just say it. Just tell the person. Maybe they're a horrible person for not knowing. You know what? Be a good person and tell them. Because positive is more powerful than negative. And giving, especially from a good source of a good heart, that will impact them. And I ask people, go ahead and do an inventory. When someone is done interacting with you, are they better or worse quality than they were before you entered the scene, right, and interacted with them? Does experiencing something with you make people more healthy? Positive, yeah, is more powerful than negative. And I'll tell you why. Because number one, people who are negative are either going to react in a positive way to join you, or they're just going to leave because positive is really annoying to negative. And number two, if you have that foundation, that establishment of, yeah, it doesn't matter what negative situation is going on, your determination to keep your positive attitude will always conquer the external temporary circumstances. Yeah. Okay. So let's think about this now. Laughter is cathartic. It's contagious. It is vital to marriage. Ladies and gentlemen, yes. Again, when we're talking about how in the world, after 32 years, my husband and I are still like boyfriend and girlfriend because we laugh at ourselves and we know how to laugh with each other, not at each other. I love to tell people there are only two experiences in life, human experiences, that will give you dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. One of them is orgasm. If you want to Google all four of those hormones, they are wonderful things in wonderful ways and for very different reasons. When we climax sexually, we get all four of those hormones. But you know what? You know another way we also do? When we laugh. Okay, that's good to know. When we're actually having a good time, we are relaxed with them, but we have energy at the same time. If we know how to get together with the people who matter to us and say, I'm going to create positive emotional energy inside of you, that's a very vital key to synchronizing. That will help you to synergize. That will unite you and strengthen, fortify the bond that you have so that even if you are away from each other, when you come back together, you re-synchronize, you get back together in that very high quality way. Yeah, that's really a gift. It's a blessing. And you know what? I love to tell people, Marriage is not a right, it is a privilege. You have to be qualified to participate in that kind of arrangement. Because let me ask you this, do opposites attract or birds of a feather flock together? One of the things that I tell people in my book, yeah, you have to be different enough, right, to get things in life done. All day, every day, being married means you have to incorporate that other person, your partner, into what you're doing. Being different at good things means that everything's going to get done. But being similar enough that you are compatible because you agree about things, yeah, that's also going to be the blood flow of your relationship. You have to have that unity in focus and in purpose. Do you know yourself and the person that you're with well enough to say, okay, these are the things that we agree about, so that's going to be the core of our connection, but these are the things that we're different in. So let's just assign each other those different kinds of activities so that we're always feeling useful and productive and valuable. Very, very important to, vital to the success of this arrangement. Okay, now I'm going to go into a little bit of detail. I only have about 10, 12 minutes left, but if you have a question about what I'm going to be talking about, you can go ahead and call the station again, 888-627-6008. Now, I'm explaining it in terms of functionality. Now, the personality profile that I like to give, that I just wrote a book about, Embrace Your Nature and Improve Your Functionality, is the Myers-Briggs. Now, a lot of people have taken that test, but unfortunately, they don't understand certain things about functions. You can have a disposition that is a very broad, general overview, okay? But your functionality is literally the order of not only what you do most to least, but best to worst and easiest to hardest. Whatever your personality is, that's not exclusively what you're going to do. You're going to have to do things that aren't your personality. So learning about your personality and your functional order, that is knowing the things that are not your personality's preference, but you're still going to have to do them in your personality's way or for your personality's reason, or find someone else to do those things. What do you think is worse, doing what you're not or not doing what you are? They're happening simultaneously, so it can be different. It can be hard to differentiate. We'll say that. It can be tough to know, because not doing what you are hurts you, but doing what you're not hurts other people. Yeah, I explain that your functionality is like breathing and eating. You have to do it. When you're doing something that's not your personality, you're not getting the oxygen and you're not getting the food that you need in order to do the things that are not your personality, that life is going to demand that you do. So I'm going to give a real quick once over on the dichotomies. The first one is about your social energy. You're either an introvert or you're an extrovert. The second one is about your focus. It's either sensory or intuitive. The third one is how you make decisions. You're either a thinker or a feeler. And the last one is about how you carry out the decisions that you've made. You're a perceiver or a judger. Now, yeah, you may need to actually take the test, but if you get my book, by the time you hit the second chapter, you'll know it's not what you currently do. It's what is the organically easiest thing for you. And if you were left alone, what would you do just from preference? Okay, so when you're thinking about those four dichotomies, your social energy, the way you absorb and process information, the way you make decisions, and the way you carry out decisions, then you're going to have to understand that your functional order is only about the two middle letters, the S and N or the T and F. You have to do S things even if you're an N. You have to do T things even if you're an F. You will. It's just a question of which one will you do most to least, best to worst. So I'll give you an example. We'll just use a random personality of ESFJ. The J of that personality indicates that the third letter is extroverted, That means the second letter is introverted. Even if you're an introvert, you're going to do things in an extroverted way. And even if you're an extrovert, you're going to do things in an introverted way. So the last letter says, if you're a J, that's the third letter that's extroverted. If you're a P, it's the second letter that's extroverted. And so the other one will be introverted. And then the first letter of your personality is just going to tell you which of those two letters, your introverted one or your extroverted one, you're going to want to do more. Yeah. Okay. So there's dominant, auxiliary, tertiary, and inferior levels. If you know that your dominant quality is what you want to do most, your auxiliary is next, tertiary, that's bringing in the letters that aren't your personality, and inferior is what you are so bad at, you hate, and you can't do it to save your life past a certain point, and you need to recover when you're done. That's okay, because it's the polar opposite of your dominant function. Okay, so in ESFJ, the J means that the feeling is extroverted, and since he's an extrovert, that would make it the dominant function. So his sensing would be introverted. That would be the auxiliary function. So if extroverted feeling is dominant, introverted sensing is auxiliary, what about the thinking and the intuition? Well, very simple. If that person loves extroverted feeling, the polar opposite would be introverted thinking. That is their inferior function, introverted thinking. Okay, and if their sensing is introverted, that means their intuition is going to be extroverted, and it's going to be the one that's left, the tertiary function. If you know that tertiary function and inferior function activities, you know what? They're not going to be your preference, but you are going to have to do them in life. And you know that there are other people that your tertiary and inferior functions, it's their dominant and their auxiliary functions. You can seek out those people and be honest with the people in your life, like your mate, your marriage mate, your family members, your neighbors that you spend time with. There are going to be certain things that you appreciate and respect and trust about them simply because you're horrible at them and they're amazingly good at those things. And then those differences that could potentially divide you will in fact unite you, because you need those people in your life and they need you. Yeah, that's really important, not only to appreciate in people, but take advantage of it, maximize it. I love the fact that my husband is an ESTP. I'm an INTP. I tell people it's good to have different dispositions because you're just going to want to do different activities in life. But having two of the same letters means that we agree enough about not only how things should be done, but why they should be done. He's just going to want to do completely different things than me. Yeah, that's really nice, because there's a lot of different things that need to get done all day, every day. He loves to cook and he's so good at it. I can't cook to save my life. I don't care that I'm the wife. And you know what? He comes from a place in Mexico where women do all of that stuff. But you know what? If we know and appreciate and trust and respect those differences, we can definitely maximize the potential good that can be done. Yes, tamales. My husband makes tamales. And you know what? They're not like what you're going to get on the street. They're not like what you're going to get in a grocery store. Yeah, people spend a lot of money on a good product. So when I say to him, honey, as an INTP, I am so good at accounting. I'm so good at all the paperwork. He never has to do any of that part of the business. I am forbidden from entering the kitchen at any time. Yeah, we know what we like to do. We know what we're good at, and we have a good time when we are together. I'm going to say it again. The most important principles in life. Number one, there's no neutral energy. You're either positive or you're negative. Number two, there's no inertia. You're either moving towards someone, away from them, or with them. And number three, positive is more powerful than negative. Yeah, knowledge comes with accountability. Knowledge, it gives you power, but power makes you accountable. So if you know that everything that you're doing is going to impact the people in your life, you have free will, the choice to have a positive or a negative effect on other people. And when you unite with people, you facilitate them, you empower them, you make them exponentially more or better. But that could also mean negatively. You can hurt people. If you know that your energy is negative and you are getting together with people and having an impact on them in a negative way, that can damage not only the person that you're with, but everyone around you who is feeling the effect of that negative impact. Do you owe it to the people in your life? Yeah, to be honest with them and say, I can't do this in a high quality way right now. You have choices. You can put up with me, just resist all this negativity, or give me a minute to go and get myself recentered. I promise when I come back, I will be a better quality version of myself. And I believe you deserve that. People are very willing to work with you and forgive you and help you and support you if they appreciate and respect and trust you, that you're honest and sincere and generous in the way that you interact with them. I have a website. It's life-synergy-coaching.com. And I explain a lot of things in a lot of ways. One of them is Embrace Your True Nature and Improve Your Functionality. It's a book. You can get it on Amazon. It's about personality differences. Then I have the Life Coaching Workbook. It's basically an instruction manual of how to get what you want out of life in a proactive and healthy and positive way. Then I also have my Till Death Do Us Part book. I haven't got the audiobook for that one, but the other two are downloadable audio. I read the manuscript to you because you know what? Not everybody wants to sit and do nothing while they read. You can multitask. But keep in mind that the information that I provide is about making sure that you are the best possible version of who you are. And that's your gift to other people. So if you understand yourself and you know the people around you, you're more likely to accept them. That's going to be good for not only you and the other person, but for everyone else who will either be around or potentially interacting with you and that other person. And if you know that you have the power to facilitate someone else's success, you will want to take advantage of that opportunity and that potential power, because the impact, again, is going to be priceless. Now, I'm also on LinkedIn, and I'm going to be giving some presentations starting in September. But I'm not sure if people are willing to go physically to a place because everyone's still on their cell phone. But if there is enough interest in one of the major cities that I will be talking about on LinkedIn, you can go ahead and look at my profile, Gabrielle Cardona. I'm going to be making a decision here in the next few weeks. So feel free to respond to anything that I post on that website. I got off of other social media venues because it was just too casual. I really do like my professional connections on LinkedIn. They're very high quality people. So thanks again for that too. I just wanted to give a shout out, and especially to Don Newsom. He is the producer that I've worked with over the years, the owner of BBS Radio with his brother, Doug. Thank you so much for all of the support and help that you've given me. I love you both so much. You're very special people to me. Thank you for listening to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona.
That's the power of synergy. Sixteen ways to see the world. Every mind a flag unfurled. What you think is black and white might be someone else's light. Read between the lines they speak. There's a strength inside the weak. Not just who we show outside. There's a deeper truth inside. If we learn to understand, we can finally take a stand. Not against, but side by side with awareness as our guide. The power.